And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our very first segment, we have a big announcement we want to talk to you in regards to the David Spoon Experience. Plus, our next segment after that, watch this, ready? First Him. Now you have to decide whether it's First Him or First Him as in music. First Him. Here's the second DDD. Then Us. I guess I gave you the clue. First Him, then Us. And we're going to close it out with Then Both.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I've had a meeting with politics. I've decided to remove politics from the show for this next hour. Politics has left the door and is going downstairs. Also, we'll cover entertainment and current events, personal revelations. That's the big one. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Because what you think matters. Call us at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it is definitely not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right. A lot of people have been wondering, what's the announcement? And here's the announcement. Get ready. I'm just telling you, get ready. So, as many people know, I have a granddaughter in one state, a grandson in another state. I have another grandson that is en route, and I just don't want to spend the rest of my time growing up away from my grandkids. And here's the reason why. So I want to tell you what's going on, and then I'll tell you what the result is. So for those that are listening for the first time and those that are listening and been listening for a long time, I was born and raised in a Jewish family. And it was a pretty good Jewish family comparative to many Jewish families, very wealthy. So that part was pretty good. On the flip side of that, my brother and I were the first two people to become Christians in the span of our existence as a family line. He, my brother, whom I adore, he's my brother, although he's, you know, kind of, you know, schmaltzy from time to time. He has two girls, and one of them is carrying on the Christian connection. And is married to a youth pastor, and they have a child on the way. They're very excited. And then my children, I have three children, and two of them are going down that route of carrying on ministry children. So I have three grandkids who are going to be third generation Jewish Christians who I want to be closer to and connected to help them be raised, and to understand that connection, that relationship with the Lord. Now, you might be saying, well, can't you do that from San Diego? It's tough because the last time I went out to see my daughter, I'm just being honest, cost us about $2,000, which is like, wait, that's not going to work because I can't do that, you know, but once a year, and then that would be difficult. So my wife and I have made a decision. We've prayed about it. We are going to relocate to Texas. Uh-oh. Texas? Yep, we're going to relocate outside of Dallas. And we are going to make sure that regardless of what we do, we're going to put a considerable amount of time into our grandchildren and into our children. Now, the one thing that I really do understand is people saying, well, you know, you work your whole life and you get money and you save it. And then when you're older, you spend that time with your grandkids. Well, first of all, I want to spend time with my grandkids while they're kids. So I've got a 1.5-year-old and a 6-month-old and one that's about to be born November 15th. And I don't get to see them. And they're like, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. It's too, the lineage process is too important to me. The Hebrew Christian process is too important to me. So we're going to move to Texas. And as it's slated right now, November 3rd would be my last show here in San Diego. November 3rd will be my last show, as it is slated right now, here, me located in San Diego. I'm just going to leave that there. And then we'll see what the future brings. Here's one thing we know for sure. My wife and I are crazy. Why are we crazy? Well, when we did this whole radio process, we felt like the Lord opened a door and we took the money that we had and all the money we had in savings, all the equity we had, and we spent every nickel to get to San Diego, to do what we had to do, to coordinate the process of doing a radio life. And we used our, you know, savings to kind of supplement our income and so on and so forth. And then after over a 5-year period, we've done decent, better than we thought we were going to do. And we went in with a lot of debt and came out, you know, thanks a lot to people like Marty Schneider who give good advice, came out with a lot less debt because we concentrated on it. Well, guess what we're doing in going to Texas and going to Dallas? We are doing absolutely the same thing. We have no idea what we're going to be doing, though I suspect I am not done talking, I suspect, or at least not that I'm aware of. We do have a couple of places that we're looking at. You're thinking, are you going to get an apartment? We're thinking about renting a house. We have 3 houses. You want to hear something funny? You guys will appreciate this. Each house that we have went to make the move on, as soon as we go to make a move on it, somebody else has just rented it. It's like, wait, how does that happen? So we know there's a place, a specific place for us to go, and we are, you know, committed to this process of still, you know, advancing the kingdom of God, spending our lives for this purpose. But in effect, this show, as it is stated now and as it operates now here, me out of San Diego, this is going to end November 3rd. And actually, November 9th, we're actually going to have some kind of, I don't know if we're going to get the truck or we're going to have a pod. We're still kind of working that out because the pods are so expensive. Oh, my gosh. They're tons. But anyway, we're going to then go out there and spend time investing in our family because we believe in that as well. It was really funny, and you guys will appreciate the humor of this. So I have Dr. Jeffress in my car. And I said, hey, Doc, I said, how are things going? Things are going good. I said, yeah. I said, we're moving. He goes, oh, where are you moving to? I go, howdy, neighbor. I mean, that's pretty funny. Come on. From Texas. Come on. That's funny. He goes, well, whereabouts? I said, well, Rowlett, Rockwell, you know, Fate area. He goes, oh, you'll be close to us. I said, you can see me. You might be sad. You can see me. He's like, no problem. Anyway, the reason I want to let you know ahead of time is that 4 weeks from now, when the show makes its transition, you know, I'm going to become a babbling brook of emotional, you know, putty. I'm not feeling that way right now because I just believe it's the right decision that we're making. But as I reflect back, we've had some fantastic things take place. And that doesn't mean that all things end the way that we think we do. You never know what the Lord has in mind. We just know what we have in mind. So you've been hearing me preach for months and months. I don't know about preach. You've been hearing me talk for months and months about recognizing that you don't always know what that next step's going to lead to or what that thing is going to be, and that God has a bigger perspective than we do. Well, I'm not saying that to you because I'm telling you guys what to do. I'm saying that to you and me because it's true. And there's nothing easier than to stand by the truth. don't have to be a theologian to know God's got a bigger plan than I do. I don't have to have a degree in school. I don't have to, all I have to do is trust him that he has a bigger plan for me. And then it seems like that plan manifests and unfolds itself. So we're excited because I want to be closer with my Addy bug. I carry around a picture with my granddaughter looking at the Skype screen waiting for me to call. And I'm like, I can't do that. Right now on my screen, right on my personal screen, which Agent Squires can confirm, is a picture of my Addy bug when she was just a little baby. It's like, yeah.
Confirmed.
I don't want to do this from a distance. Then I know people say, well, you're supposed to do that when you're older. But when I'm older, they'll be 16 or 17. The last thing they want to do is hang out with grandma and grandpa. Let's get them now while they're young and they can't escape. See how that would work? See what my thinking is? That's right. I'm a thinker. So I'm excited, but I'm also excited because I have a feeling that the Lord has this other plan that goes beyond us. But the show is ending November 3rd, and I want to make sure that you understand that. Is that, you know, what does that mean? Are they going to, you know, is somebody else doing this? So it's just, listen, we're all praying about it. That's what we're doing. And we would ask you to do the same. Pray about it. Pray about it with us. Join us in this struggle. It's been a super big blessing to be able to blab on the air. Yeah, I've been doing this for 5 years. And we have done not quite 1,200 shows, but we've done a lot. And there's a lot of material. We've had a lot of guests and we've had a lot of fun. And some people really don't like us, so they're probably rejoicing. I appreciate that, you know. But it is gonna. There's gonna be some change, some way to the face of KPRZ. Not as much to KCBQ because I don't do a lot with KCBQ other than say 1170 The Answer because they're not supposed to be called KCBQ or something like that. Is that right? Is that kind of how that goes? I can't.
Hey, I'm 1170.
Yeah,
The Answer.
I know it's like Batman.
Damn. 1170, The Answer. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, he does sound kind of like
that. Well, it sounds like Batman. Did I ever tell you that time when I went through I told this to RoboBruce. I went through a place in Taco Bell. And then the guy said, what do you want? I go, hot sauce. No, for real.
That's funny.
Yeah. I don't think he thought it was funny as I did. But then we went to Chick-fil-A about 6 months later, and this guy who was giving the food out sounded like Batman without trying, which was twice as funny. It's like, here's your food. It's like, wow. I'm like, I'm in a time warp. Anyway, I don't want people to be sad. For those of you that are glad, I'm not inviting you to my birthday party. But for those that are sad or for those that want to hear, we're going to keep the podcasts up indefinitely. They're not going down. I have control of just the podcasts. So, I'm going to keep that up at davidspoon.com. For years to come, because I can never brag enough to my kids, and then I can always point to it and go, listen to this, or I can go, listen to what grandpa did here. And that's those times when I make fun of my children, especially the trick that I played on them when we told them that mom was pregnant again after they were all 25. That was a pretty good one. Anyhow, that's kind of funny. So I just letting you know, that's the big announcement. The show will be ending November 3rd. We do not know where it all leads to, but we do know this. That we trust the Lord with all our heart. And trust in the Lord, right? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That doesn't just apply to you. It applies to me and every one of us that name the name of the Lord. That's what's going on. We're going to take a short break, come back, and get into the Lord's Prayer. You're listening to David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
I call to you, I offer up. I see the sacrifice of praise.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ. The Christian Station.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait. Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 877-890-CASH, and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the cash call at 877-890-CASH.
Impact Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. Equal Housing Lender. Call 855-657-9910 for terms and restrictions. California Department of Business Oversight Residential Mortgage Lender Law License 4131083. NMLS 128231.
That's 877-890-CASH.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. When Peter's parents allowed him to accompany his uncle to the Philippines, the adventurous teenager was overjoyed. Though rife with danger, these mission trips were worth it because so many people came to Christ. This time, though, his parents received a chilling phone call. Militants had captured Peter. If his uncle didn't stop preaching, their son would be killed. Though they begged for Peter's release, they knew they couldn't prevent the sharing of the gospel. To live is Christ, to die is gain, they said. And those were the last words that their son would ever hear. May God comfort the grieving, even as they reckon Christ more precious than life.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. Participate in the International Day of Prayer next month. Visit vomradio.net/IDOP.
You remember Caleb. He was sent to spy out the land and came back with the Minority Report. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Listen to Caleb's words out of Joshua 14. I was 40 years old when Moses sent me. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. It was 45 long years later, the same Caleb said this, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. Caleb, at age 85, was ready because he followed God fully.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'm sure there's some people that thought my announcement was going to be a little bit different. You thought maybe I'd won the lotto and I was sharing all the money with everybody. That is not the case. Okay. The show will be ending November 3rd, which is 4 weeks from today. I'll see what the future holds. We're going to be moving to Texas so I can hang out with my Addy Bug and my Carter Bear. Now, the third grandchild does not have a name yet, so I'm still working on that process. I'm trying to lobby for a Red Wing, but again, I don't think that's working with my daughter. So, yeah, you got to try. All right, let's get into the Word, because there is nothing better for a person internally to connect to the Lord than to reflect on the things that the Lord teaches and talks to us about, and then use those reflections to have an intimate prayer life and connection with Him. So we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. We're just covering a certain amount. We're covering basically Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And the first third of this is going to be called First Hymn. First Hymn, H-I-M. Because the scripture says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Expository teaching and preaching and sharing and talking is different than topical. Topical takes a topic and talks about that topic from different angles. Expository takes it word by word and breaks it down piece by piece. There are some churches that are committed to one structure, some churches that are committed to another structure, and other churches that are committed to both structures. And then there's other places that aren't really churches that aren't committed to the word, so it doesn't matter. All right, it says, Our Father. Here's the first thing to know about the first word in the Lord's Prayer. Our. What does it say? Our. Does it say my Father? No. It says our. It's not mine only. You know what that means? That means that we need to expand our world. Your universe is not you. If it is, you are not following God's commands. First, your universe should be God, and then your universe should be all that God brings into your existence. Our father, not, it doesn't say our mother, it doesn't say our neutral parent, it doesn't say, you know, our gender-free deity. It says our father. It's not difficult to figure out that the dad is in this case and in most cases, except for extreme nut jobs on television and radio and on the internet, the father is the protector. There's a caretaking that takes place. Typically, he is involved in a majority or at least an equality of the providing, and he's dependable. So the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray is our, not mine exclusively, but our father, protector, provider, caretaker, Mr. Dependable. And by the way, this does make reference to the fact that prayer does not go to saints. It goes to the Father. It doesn't say our brother who died last spring of eating, you know, General Chow chicken. It doesn't say that. It says our Father. And then it says this, in heaven, which is the real center of the universe, in spite of the fact that MSNBC, CNN, and Fox all think that they're the center of the universe, heaven is the center of the universe. Wait, I'm going to really hurt some people. In spite of the fact that people think America is the center of the universe, heaven is the center of the universe. In spite of the fact that people think Earth is the center of the universe, you'd be wrong. Heaven is the center of the universe. It says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is hagetheto, which means reverence, adoration, devotion, worship. First thing we're supposed to do once you address the Father in heaven is to be reverent, adoring, devotional, worship. Does that look the same on every person? I don't think so. I think it looks different on a lot of people in a lot of different ways. That part's okay. Hallowed be your name, because his name reflects his attributes. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-loving. So it's reverence to your name, reverence for all the things you are, acknowledgement, worship, adoration, devotion, appreciation, all of that is put together in hallowed be your name. And then this is where it gets deep. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Watch this. You skip here. I'm going to give you 2 years to skip in school. Your kingdom come. That's the future reign of God. You're waiting for it to come, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the current reign of God. So you have the future reign of God and you have the current reign of God. What is the reign of God? That's where God reigns. Remember that song? Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Remember that song? Okay, that teaches us that there is a future reign of God and there is a present or current reign of God, and they work together. So our, not mine alone, not yours alone, but our Father. Again, I think that's probably one of the most defining words in this prayer, because many of us just say, my Father. Expand that universe. Our Father in heaven, the real center. You just heard, I don't know if you heard Dr. Tony Evans say, God's existence is not stuck into this realm. It's like, yeah, heaven is not like heaven's just in the skies above the clouds. God knows the alternate universe. He's in another dimension, and he's in this one. It's like, well, what's out there? We have no idea. That's not our problem right now. Our problem is to concentrate on our relationship with him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First thing that Jesus models in prayer is worship. You know when you go to church, and the first thing after you do the announcements, or not the announcements, but the welcome, is they do worship. I mean, that is about 95% of the churches will either do a hymn or a worship song or or something along those lines that gets everybody collectively together. Well, that's not an accident. That's how it was, the way they would do the gatherings in the past. And this model that Jesus tells you is, you know, when you're praying, this is for you, personal prayer. Our Father in heaven, addressing, knowing who you're addressing, hallowed be your name. You know what? Before we get into any of my stuff, before we get to any of my complaints and whining and my list, before I give you my laundry list, you should be acknowledged. And then before, again, it comes to our list, guess what? Not us yet. It's still about God's kingdom, God's work, the work that's to come, the work that's being done. All of this beginning process, this first third, is all towards the Lord. It's first Him. Our Father, yeah, in heaven. Got it. Hallowed be your name. Worship starts it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So your stuff, God. Not my stuff first, your stuff first. I want to make sure I'm part of the kingdom that's coming. I want to make sure I'm part of the kingdom that's here. I want to make sure I give you worship and honor and glory and recognize that the center of all things is you and that you're the Father. That's how the very first few verses break down in the Lord's Prayer. So what we're going to do is, to do our typical, we're going to take our break. And then the next section, you think that's deep at all? The next section gets really deep. Then you find out that when Jesus was teaching people to pray, He was really teaching us all to pray. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
My friends, Tom Lewis for Cross International. This is a critical month for children in the country of Kenya and South Sudan. United Nations reporting it is the worst crisis since 1945. These dear ones need our help. Through Cross International, you can give a double blessing gift. Here's how it works. When you give your gift for Africa to feed a child through the next 5 months, through the end of January, that is a $60 one-time gift. That provides the food they need for these suffering children and families. Could you help right now? Give your best gift. They're expecting to get rain hopefully by next April or May, but the drought and famine is critical. Let me give you the number. You can use your credit card when you call 866-946-8233. 866-946-8233. Let's be the hands and feet of Christ. Call right now. Call 866-946-8233. 46-8233 or kprz.com.
Have you seen someone who is destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. Sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help. From Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's in business management to a master's in teaching and master's of science in leadership, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
When he woke up from surgery, he couldn't move his left arm. His face was drooping. His left leg wouldn't work. He couldn't move his hand.
After having a brain tumor removed, Brian Holman's 11-year-old son suffered a stroke. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Brian recalls the road to recovery.
We made him play the piano to make him move his fingers, and he'd pick his arm up, and he'd put it on the keys, and he'd begin to try to make the keys make a noise, and nothing. Pretty soon, after 2 or 3 months, you'd hear, tink, tink, tink. And then it would get a little louder and a little louder. He started being able to move his hand and rehab it back and get stronger and bigger, and that boy never quit. He stayed focused. And I'm proud to say today that he's a 6'6", 225-pound right-handed pitcher and just finished his first year in rookie ball with the Seattle Mariners. He never stopped.
You'll hear more from Brian at FamilyMinute.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hey, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget about church disappointment, his appointment. You can just go to hisappointment.com to get the information, or you can go to Amazon and type in David Spoon, and then the book pops up. It's all about dealing with drastic disappointment and how to get through it and not quit. Because sometimes when you go through disappointment, you want to just go, that's it, I'm done. And that's not the plan. So I do want people to be aware, we did make the announcement, November 3rd will be the last show for the David Spoon Experience here at KPRZ with me in San Diego. And I do want to let everybody know before this comes out, there is no shuffling behind the deck of they tried to get Dave out because there's somebody new in and this is happening, this happening. I've been working on this with Salem since the end of January to process, and I wanted to do it right. I wanted to be right about it. I wanted to make sure it was the Lord. Plenty of prayer went in, plenty of people praying around the country. You know, that's important. But I just, you know, and I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and they were like, yeah, I'm going to, when I retire, where I'm going to retire is where my grandkids go. It's like, well, I'm not going to wait to spend that time with my grandkids. I'm not doing it. I don't believe in waiting like that. I believe that by the time I'm done with them, I'll have my great grandkids, and they're the ones that are going to try and get away from me. That's my goal. My goal's pretty specific. I plan to irritate until the very last. Anyway, let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. We were talking about what it says, our Father, not mine alone, but our Father, not mother, not gender-neutral deity in heaven. Hallowed, which is worship, praise, adoration, be your name. His name reflects his attributes. Your kingdom come, which is the stuff that's in the future. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the current reign of God. Now, after we focused on the Lord in prayer, so when you're praying, you focus on the Lord first. Now, you might try and butter God up by saying, what a great sunset. I don't think that'll work because he knows what you're doing, but, you know, if it works for you. It says this, give us this day our daily bread. Let's talk about the first word, give. See, expository is fun because you get to dive into each word. Give. What does give mean? It means that you can't work for it. It comes from God's generosity. You don't deserve it because God has to give it. It's not payback. It's gifting. So say, like, oh, well, okay. Can you give us? And us, by the way, is a family prayer. It is also a corporate prayer. It's both. But the idea here is in the prayer time, it's our Father. It's give us. The word our is used three more times. Do you want to know why? Here's the great thing. Because Rick Warren was right when he wrote his book. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about God. And then, after it's about God, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself is the second command. It's about God, then it's about us, not you. That's a big difference. So it says, give us this day. What do you think this day means? Give us this month at the end when we reconcile. No. Give us this day means that prayer, I've got to get this out, needs to be an everyday experience and exercise. Actually, I wanted to really use the word exercise versus experience, but, you know, whatever. Prayer needs to be every day. Here's what you don't do. You don't give God the leftover from your wallet, and you don't give him the leftover from your time. You do that, Well, let me just ask you this. If you do that, can God do that to you? What if God just gave you the leftover? You're not that important. You go to the back of the line. That's just not the way that things need to happen. But look, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Notice it doesn't say, give us this day our daily Ferrari. Give us this day our daily trip to the Bahamas, first class, staying in the Royal Suite at the Royal Bohemian. Oh, it doesn't say that? Oh. Why? Because bread is a staple. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. You can't sit there and say to the Lord, well, I want a jumpsuit that's pink and it's got a yellow stripe on it. Well, goody for you. Congratulations. That's great. But when you're praying to the Lord, you say, give us this day our daily bread. You're talking about God giving it because you can't work for it. You're talking about us, which is not you individually. You're talking about this day, which is a daily exercise, and daily bread, which are the necessities. Hey, this is how Jesus taught us to pray. This is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This is the model. Jesus didn't say, pray these words. He said, pray this way. Telling you it's a model. It's a process. Now, it is true. Some of you guilt's easy like me. This part's hard. It is true when he says this that I have a hard time because I do this at the top versus in the middle. It says this next, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. I actually struggle with this personally. I spend more time asking for forgiveness than I do asking for supplies. That's just me. I don't know if that's everybody else. But when I read this, I always think, why doesn't he say forgive us first and then take care of the food? Because it's like, I want to be forgiven. That's just what I think. But it says, forgive us after our needs, for those who are hung up just like me. You can't earn forgiveness. It must be received just like anything else. And then it says our debts. All right, I'm gonna help you out. It isn't dollars. It's moral debt. When you sinned, you created moral debt between you and God. And so what he's asking for is a removal of the debt. As we also forgive our debtors. Forgiving others is in response to forgiveness from God and is based on a decision and not our feelings. I want to say that again because this is crucial. Forgiving others, listen to this line, forgiving others is in response to forgiveness from God. Okay, that's easy to get, right? It's based on a decision and not our feelings. To forgive somebody is not based on the moment you think, well, I think it's time to forgive them. That's not how forgiveness works. Forgiveness is the decision that says that really hurt, but I am making a choice to forgive. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not saying, well, I'll get back to you as soon as I'm done being mad about it. That's really not forgiveness. That's a completely different process. Forgiveness is a decision that is made and one that you can extend if you've genuinely received the forgiveness of God. If you're a person that has a hard time forgiving others, you are having a harder time receiving it. Just so you can know. The block is in you in the reception. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. So I went through the list and I decided, who would be a debtor? Let's see. Our family, they would be debtors to us, right? They've wounded us. Our friends, yep. Our coworkers, yep. Our neighbors, yep. People you don't know driving on the road? Yep. Ourselves? Yep. There's some problems in there. But Jesus makes it clear in this midsection of the prayer. He's like, give us this day our daily bread because the staples are a necessity. And God's not interested in giving you a Ferrari. He promises that he will take care of you in clothing and in food. He does not promise you will have a cell phone. I'm just saying. I know the president, the last president promised that, but it's not a promise from God. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors, which means that as God has worked in you, forgiven you, extended to you, graced to you, and as you have learned to receive, you need to extend. That is why Jesus taught Matthew 18 about forgiveness and the difference between forgiveness between you and God, how God forgives you this huge amount, but then when you have somebody that's offended you, it's tough to forgive them this small little itty-bitty amount. It's super important to understand that you are supposed to reflect the work that God does in you. And if you're telling me you have a hard time forgiving, then I'm telling you, you have a hard time receiving. And you need to change that. You need to ask God to clean up your receptor so you can give that which he extends to you. All right, when we come back, we'll close out the rest of the prayer. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
Being biblically literate requires studying verses and passages, not just relying on quoting feel-good favorites. This is Jim Garlow. I can't emphasize enough how important it is for us to consider the entire spectrum of God's teaching in His Word. In other words, avoiding being hyper-selective to just knowing and using those passages and sections that are convenient to our point of view. In these days of popular internet memes, they seem to be the only Bible some people know. When we reduce God's Word to clever slogans, it becomes easy to misinterpret what God is actually saying to us. And too often, we end up trivializing what it's saying. The truth is, we're living in perilous times. Times in which having a good grasp of what the Bible actually teaches is crucial. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. No meme intended. This is Jim Garlow.
And as the children sat alone inside of their tent, deep in the dark woods, they read more and more about the ghost. The children learned that the ghost was more powerful than they ever imagined. This ghost existed before time even began. The children read that the ghost wasn't just very close to their tent, he could actually live inside of them for the rest of their lives.
Sorry to interrupt, excuse me, but are you talking about the Holy Ghost, as in the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, sorry. I may have gotten a bit carried away.
Maybe just a little. The Holy Spirit loves us, and He's here to help us. When you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to comfort you and give you the strength you need to follow Christ. You can learn more about the Holy Spirit at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Gives me strength to walk beside you, no matter if it's far.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. What a day, what a week, what a month, what a year, what a life, right? Come on, how good has God been to you? You know he's been good to you. You know it. You know he's given you grace in places that you didn't even imagine existed. He's given you mercies in places that you're just thankful it exists. Remember, grace, unmerited favor, getting something you could never earn. But mercy, operating in a different principle, saying you're not going to get what you do deserve. Mercy is where the freedom from judgment comes in. That's kind of like, oh, I love that stuff. All right, here we go. We have been talking about the Lord's Prayer. Well, why? Well, because the Lord's Prayer in the Word, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, is the model Jesus gave, a guideline for praying, and understanding how to engage with the Lord in prayer is a key component, and understanding it from the lips of Jesus, it becomes just that much more important. Again, the Lord did not say, pray these words. In fact, one of his admonitions in teaching about prayer is don't say a lot of words or don't repeat phrases. You ever have people that are like, well, you should do a mantra. I'm an idiot, 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 I'm an idiot. That doesn't really help anybody. You understand? All right. I bet there's not a lot of live Christian radio shows that just did a mantra of I'm an idiot. I got to go out on a limb. So the first, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ours, not my father. Father, not gender neutral deity. In heaven, center of the universe, hallowed be your name. First thing is worship. The reason I'm repeating that is because it's important. The reason is because you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Part of that love is the expression of adoration. So, you know, it's not like you escape from it, so to speak. It's important to understand it should be a part of everyday prayer. Why do we pray every day? Because it says you give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Prayer is an everyday exercise. The kingdom, we want the kingdom to come in the future. We want the kingdom to be active now. We'll make sure the first thing that we do in prayer is address the Lord, acknowledge the Lord, connect to the Lord, surrender to the Lord, and make sure his purposes are first. Then we get to cover our bread, our debts, and our need to extend that forgiveness to others. In the closing of that portion, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we're going to talk about that because some say deliver us from evil. I think evil one's a little more accurate, but, you know, look at it. Either of those flow perfectly fine. They have that same essence because Satan is, of course, at the core evil. But lead us not into temptation. Let's talk about that real quickly. That means literally, that means in the Greek, lead us not to be pierced with a sword. And it has to do with testing and trying and forging and having that test pierce us and push us through. So you're allowed to say to the Lord, hey, don't, you know, keep us away from that. You know, when you go through temptations, you know, the Lord can be called upon and say, get me out of this mess. This will get bad for me. You have common sense. He didn't give you the brain of a gnat. I mean, you can use your wisdom and go, this is not good. In fact, most of you have a little ding-dong bell that goes off. And what Agent Squires and I would say is that's our Spidey sense. And it goes ding, 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 ding. You know, it's like Spidey sense goes, zzz, wait, something not right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is no way. It's amazing. This is the Lord's Prayer. I am a strong advocate for giving to the poor. I do it personally. We've done it as a show. We believe it's very important. But in the Lord's Prayer, he talks about spiritual warfare, not feeding the poor. You can't get away from this. And it's like, you deliver us from the evil one. You have to be alert. The enemy hates you. Every time you have any success in God's kingdom with prayer or with faith or with anything, it's like another rub in a wound for him. He doesn't like that. And so you need to be alert, and you need to ask the Lord, deliver me from this. Get me out of this. The Bible says in James, it says, submit yourselves, James 4:7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. If you surrender to God, then you have the ability through God's power to resist the enemy, and the enemy can't stick around. And you get to say, Lord, get me out of this. Go away. That's what Jesus said to Satan. Okay, get away from me. You get to say it. Get away. Go away. Bye-bye. Get out. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Remember this. Where it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, remember this. It's about the glory to God. Okay? I know it's difficult to understand for us because we're, you know, kind of that way. But this is about the glory of God. You want the Lord to keep you away from temptation. You want him to lead you one way and deliver you from the evil in another way. But you have to remember that his is the kingdom, his is the power, and his is the glory. And you get to participate with him, but he gets it. You understand? He's the one that receives it or is deserving of it. You just got to remember, and I got to remember, that when we're praying every day, our prayer life is not about us putting in our time with God like you just punched in on a clock. Okay? Spending time with God in prayer is not you punching a clock for work. It's a privilege to go to the presence of God. He gives us that right through the blood of Jesus. I highly encourage you to really review Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, because Jesus made it so we can come into the presence of God anytime we want. So if we're lacking in God and in our prayer time with God, it has nothing to do with God or access to him. It has to do with us. Let's use the Lord's Prayer, pray more effectively, more diligently, and more consistently. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.